Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, families don't come in the same shape anymore, and for many, love the second time around means blending children, traditions and whole other histories under one roof. Blended families or step families can absolutely work, but that rarely happens overnight. So how can you create a real sense of belonging for everyone? Joining me now is family psychotherapist Madeline Connolly. Madeline, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much, Claire. Great to be here to talk about this very important subject.
Because it is becoming more and more the norm, isn't it? I heard a stat recently that a third of all families in the UK are blended. I don't know if we have the statistics here in Ireland, but relationships break up, you know, people move on. That has definitely become a bit more the norm, and that can lead to blended families.
Absolutely. And while I don't have the stats either, what I do experience is that there are more and more families where the two parents, one might be a step parent and one might be a biological parent of that child. So it's certainly a trend that we're seeing increasing. And these are coming to us then in some ways to try and sort out some of the challenges that comes with it. But absolutely, I'm glad you said that they can and do work. After sometimes a period of just adjustment and adaptation for everybody.
So what are some of the challenges then that you might face?
So there are challenges. I suppose the first challenge is to recognise that there are challenges. In other words, to check in with your own children and then with your new partner on how things are going. So sometimes they're hidden challenges and they don't come to the fore until actually it's a problem. So the kinds of challenges a lot of blended families find are, let's say if we take stages, so you might have an adult child whose parent is now in a new relationship and they might be concerned about how this is going to work out for them. They might be still living at home. They might wonder about inheritance issues. So that's at the very top level where a parent might need to get some advice and some counsel on what's the best thing to do here for my new family, for my children who I want to support still and be a supportive parent, and what's the smartest way to do with it. And really with an adult child, the smartest thing is to communicate and be as transparent as you can be after settling on how you think you want to do it as a parent. The challenges for an adolescent are always worth talking about because they're at a very particular intense stage of their life where they're trying to figure out what is their identity, where do they belong, who do they belong to. You know, life is a really exciting time for an adolescent. It can also be quite an intense time where they feel deeply and they can sometimes feel disconnected, even in a family where they live with both their parents. So in a blended family, this can actually be more intense quite often for an adolescent, but definitely workable with, you know, in that case, you'd ask a parent to stay connected as much as you can. And if you're not the resident parent, if you're not the parent who's living with that adolescent, don't give up. Keep trying to connect, even if they push you away. Stay in your position and do everything you can to remain connected and keep that relationship going. Because quite often an adolescent may not say it in so many words, but might fear losing that connection that they've enjoyed with that parent who's now found a new partner. And give it time. I think that's one of the biggest things for adolescents. Give them time, give yourself time. And if you're co-parenting, obviously the ideal scenario is where you can both look at what this young person needs and work together to try and meet their needs as well as your own needs in these separate relationships. Does that make sense?
Completely. And, you know, every family is going to be different, as you say, but I really took that, you know, you give things time and accept that it is going to be challenging, but it doesn't mean that it can't perhaps work out. And I ask this next question with full compassion, and I'm up for the answer being no to the question. But is it very much a top-down approach? Is the relationship that perhaps the separated couple or the new couple have that really sets the tone? And I think that can be challenging in and of itself because there was a relationship breakdown, which can often lead to all kinds of communication issues.
Yeah. And I'm not sure what you mean by top-down, but I think what I understand you saying is how the parents manage that initial new relationship have an impact on how the relationship goes? And the answer is absolutely yes. If you can have a conversation with the other parent about what might change or what you'd like to stay the same, the closer parents and step-parents are communicating with each other and supporting each other, the more likely there's going to be a better outcome for the children in those relationships. Absolutely.
I was sort of putting parents at the top, but would you always put parents and kids a little bit more equal?
No, I think in any situation that involves a lot of change, and that's very stressful because parents have changed their lifestyle, if you like, in a good way. Quite often they've left maybe a difficult relationship and they're trying to set up a relationship where they might change, you know, the way they made mistakes in the past. I think they do lead the way. They have to be the leaders in this by setting good examples, by being respectful of each other in their separate lives, you know, by sort of being flexible is the key, particularly with children who have busy lives, is that you're not rigid on the time a child should spend with me or the time, this is my turn, this is your turn. Flexibility and cooperation between parents is definitely the key to a better life. But there's always a way through a problem. I think that's the way to see it if you feel stuck, is just think rather than react and say, okay, what's the best way to manage this? Who's point of view do I need to listen to? Who do I need to hear? And then what will we do about it?
You feel it can take up to 4 years to establish a blended family. Time to adjust has to be taken into account.
I think so, because I think initially there can be kind of a honeymoon period, if you like. Everybody's, you know, hoping for the best. Everyone wants everything to work out. Everybody's working hard, even from the parents' point of view. But for a child, it can actually be quite a change to their lives. You know, they're having to get their heads around, one, the fact that when my parent meets a new partner, really that fantasy I might have held as a young child that they might get together again is gone. So they have to adjust again to another loss, if you like. The separation might have been a loss for a child, but then a parent meeting a new partner takes getting used to. What does it mean for me as the child? Who am I going to live with? What do I call my father's partner? You know, all of those changes will come with it. So I think it's better to think this will take time. So when you have a hiccup or a challenge, take your time to sort it out. Give it the time it needs, you know, and go in easy. And particularly step-parents, they really want it to work out. They, you know, they want the relationship to work out, but they might fear that they won't get it right. So they can be quite anxious to get it right. And the key to that is to talk to their partner, say, look, I'm not sure I'm doing this right. I'm not sure I can even do it. And have those conversations together so you can support each other in those roles as well. And for a child, you know, given time and space, I think you have to acknowledge with them, look, I know this is tricky, I know this is hard, but we'll get there. And I'm still going to be a parent and I'm not going anywhere and we'll get through it together. And I think that message will help to settle that child into their new life and the new way of doing things and setting new memories maybe with the new blended family, but holding on to some of the ones they hold dear with their previous family and with their parents. So it shouldn't be a, you know, an either or. It should be a very nice blending of both and. And just on the title of blending, it's not that a child has to blend into somebody else's family. They have to find their place in that family, how they're enjoyed, how they're liked, what they're bringing to this new family. And when they do that, they will be more comfortable then in that, you know, in their part, as part of the family. So I think consideration and time needs to be given to all of these different things that are going on for all the different members of the family groupings.
What is your advice around tricky times such as holidays, you know, breaks from school, family celebrations? How can parents in a blended family work this out?
It's really important. I mean, I always know if I get calls for an urgent visit, you know, in December, you know in your heart and mind that this is because Christmas is coming. It's the first time we've done it as separated parents and we want to make it the best experience for our children. So planning, you know, and for the adults to plan. It's not for the children to try and sort all of that stuff out. But in that, it's not to be too rigid because children have busy lives. So you take an adolescent, they're not coming to you because they don't love you. They might have something else going on. So it's to learn to have a softer approach to that and say, okay, well, look, I can change my plan. Can I give you a lift there? So at least I'll see you. You know, so the pressure is off the adolescent to please the parents at those times. And even for younger children, you know, you can make new memories and traditions, but you have to listen to what they want to hold on to, particularly in the early years. what they loved doing before and how you can fit that in, as well as have new memories with your child and maybe with their step siblings, if you like.
And we focused very much on the children, which of course is very important. But what about the adults in all of this? I think it must be very tricky if you are blending your families together, but then you're trying to navigate, you know, parenting differently. What is your role? Because there may well be, you know, another parent living outside of the house. You don't want to overstep boundaries. So it can be very difficult. I assume, again, communication here is key, and making sure you're still making time for the relationship outside of the family.
I think it's really important, especially you're in this new relationship because maybe it gives you a different chance to have a relationship that might sustain through hard times. So you really invested in making this work. But you've got to let your partner know that no matter what the bumps, we'll try and work it out together. We'll check in with each other. You know, you sort of every now and then check in, do something special to maintain and preserve what you have together. That's different to what you have with your respective children or respective families. So I think the key is to be able to support one another, whatever comes up, and to be able to say it. It's quite difficult sometimes for a parent of a child to say to a step parent, I wouldn't really do it that way without causing offence. So it's a sensitive area. One of the things I really like about this work is looking at what we call the delay principle, where you try not to react in the moment, but you move into a place where you don't react, but you come back to it at a time when you've thought about it and you've thought about how you might do this, approach this conversation, this challenging conversation. So if you think of that in your head, the delay principle, I won't react now, it didn't quite sit with me, but when I find the opportunity, we can talk it through and I can tell her how I feel and hear from her point of view what was going on for her. So those key communication strategies for any couple are really important, this kind of listening and being listened to and being heard and looking at things from different angles. It's never an either or, even for parenting. You know, you don't want one to be in one position and one in the polar opposite. There's always a middle ground to be found. Nobody's right in that situation. It's just, what can we do that'll work in this situation for both of us? My way isn't necessarily the best way, nor is yours. How can we meet in the middle and work this through together? That's really what's best in terms of communication, I would suggest.
Yeah, and as you say, that's for everyone, even outside of blended families, or indeed even parenting together. And where there are then bumps in the road and challenges and you know, where things don't go as planned, you always recommend to repair ruptures. You can always go back and say either to the child or your partner or, you know, the other couple in the relationship or the other parent, you know, sorry about that. Where can we be better here? Or, you know, keep the communication going.
There's always room for relational repair. So even if you feel you've made the worst mistake of your life, it's worth thinking about it and saying, look, I got it wrong. You know, this is what was happening, you know, and to say to a child, look, I'm sorry. I realize what I've been doing hasn't been helpful for you. How can I get it better now? How can I do it differently? I wonder, would this work? And for adults in that situation, relational repair can happen even while you're trying to work it out. So you can start sort of keeping each other in mind, doing, you know, small gestures for each other, which is also demonstrating repair, isn't it? And then at some point, you know, you can talk about it when it's comfortable to talk about it. Again, it's very hard to talk about something when stress is high. It's better to wait till, you know, it calms down, you know, strike when the iron is cold, as we say, and then have a more sort of a more reasonable conversation with each other about it. So one of the things, again, is to try and make space and time for those conversations and say, yeah, I did. I got that wrong. I wonder how I could have done it differently. And there's no blame. There's no shame. This is an extraordinary situation that everybody's in. There's no right way that anyone knows how to do it. But it's being able to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to hear from Alive and Kicking listeners. How many of you are navigating blending families? You can let us know your experiences, let us know what works for you. You can email aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. But Madeleine Connolly, family psychotherapist, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. conversation that counts.